I'm so excited for this. A nice discussion with Sophia Quaby from the Quaby Sisters. Wonderful fiddle players, three of them. National, regional fiddle champions everywhere amongst the group of them. Wonderful harmony singers, just phenomenal. And they're touring now, doing a little bit of bluegrass in the process, but they like all kinds of music. Incredible talent, and just the nicest young ladies I think I've ever met. I have had the privilege of seeing them perform twice, and as young as they are now, I saw them 4.5 years ago. They were younger, just as startling when you saw them play the Western swing music and the singing. She's going to take you through all that right now, and this is just one of the fun things of being involved in Unreal Bluegrass, is you get to talk to wonderful young artists like Sophia Quaby of the Quaby Sisters. Coming up right now. Here we go, folks. Hold on. All right. I'm very happy today to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass. One of my favorite bands is the Quaby Sisters, and I've seen the Quaby Sisters twice over the last few years, and I'm very happy to be talking now to one of those sisters, Sophia. How are you, Sophia?
I'm doing great, Steve.
Well,
thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm just so happy we could work this out. I saw you, I'm going to say, almost 4.5 years ago, and then I saw the band again a couple weeks ago, both times in Ohio. And, of course, now you're a little older. I have your last two albums. I don't have your first one, and I believe I was talking to your sister, Grace. And I don't think you all sang on that one. Is that right?
That's right. That is an all-instrumental CD. We just played the fiddle at that time and added singing later. We'll have to get you a copy of that one.
I should have got one that night, and I just, everything just gets busy, but I'll find one. But here's, the Quaby Sisters, I'll do this in introduction, because I think people will grasp this concept right away. Everybody remembers Bob Wills and the Western Swing sound. If you, first time you see the Quaby Sisters, which you really should see them live, because it's we'll talk about the singing and fiddle playing, but you will immediately recognize that the influence of Western Swing, and if most people think of Bob Wills, they can kind of get that feel for it. But there's three of you. There's you, Sophia, Grace, and Hulda Quaby Stipp. She got married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And then, of course, you have other musicians with you, but you are three sisters. I want you to talk a little bit about, we're going to get into the new album, the most recent album, Every Which Way, but I want you to talk a little bit about, I know you're from Texas. Let's talk a little bit about the feel of music that you have, this Western swing sound, and we'll just kind of walk through how you three grow up. You're all champion fiddlers. You're amazing singers. The harmony is as tight as any harmony I've ever seen. We've talked about the Mills Brothers type of, if people, again, can connect with the Mills Brothers sound. But let's talk a little bit about the Quaby Sisters and where you all kind of picked up your sound.
Well, we started playing the fiddle. Actually, where we first were influenced to fiddle music was at it was near our hometown. It was just a little local fair, and there was a fiddle contest there, and that's a popular thing in Texas, our fiddle contest, and it's right around the whole U.S., really, but Texas-style fiddling is, you know, kind of a style of breakdown fiddling, and there's just a lot of tradition around fiddle contests and people just getting together and jamming and that kind of thing. And we heard fiddling for the first time, really, at that contest. And we got into it and started taking lessons and, you know, just kind of unfolded from there. If you saw us 4.5 years ago, we were playing with Joe McKenzie and probably Drew Phelps.
Yes, that sounds right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and both fantastic musicians. And so we just kind of, we never really planned to start a band, but it just kind of happened. You know, you start learning some tunes together and started playing, and pretty soon somebody wants to hire you for a gig, and then they go, well, do you have a recording? And, well, I guess we should make a CD. And then you start getting paid. You're like, oh, this is cool. We can get paid to do this, too. And so you kind of get the picture of how things sort of unfolded. And then we started singing. And about at that time, you know, things really started to pick up for us career-wise. And we started traveling a lot more. And, you know, started to play festivals outside of the state. And And each year it's gotten busier and busier for us, and it's our full-time occupation now, and it's really cool to get to travel around and do that. I hope that helped answer a few of your questions.
It does. No, it does. That's a good starting point. So the three of you then, you saw a fiddle competition in Texas, and Texas fiddle competitions are well known, and there's a lot of great mm-hmm. players that come out of that part of the country, and some play bluegrass, some do not, but we know of a lot of them that come out of Texas and that part of the country. So you saw, how old were you, roughly, how old were the sisters when you first got exposed to that type of fiddle competition sound?
I was 10, and Huldah was 7, and Grace was 12.
And
so I think that's when we started fiddling.
Okay.
We all picked it up at the same time.
So then you took lessons, and then you must have had I know that you've all won different championship things, and you're all very, very good. You don't have to have won championships to get that point across, but you must have taken it very seriously at a young age, because you really accelerated to where I've seen you the last two times. I mean, you're all three just remarkable fiddle players. You must have been very serious about it even as a young child.
You know, I think we were. It was fun, and I guess we just, I know we did work a lot at it. We worked hard at it. We practiced a lot. And it's just something that, I don't know, we just really got into the music and got into playing, and we went to a lot of contests. And, So I guess that's...
It's funny.
Took off for us.
Yeah, here, the reason I bring it up is it's funny to me that all three of you... got into the fiddle sound, and you all started playing at the same time. And we'll talk a little bit later before we're finished here about the singing part, but all of you were taken to the fiddle and the sound of the fiddle, and just kind of got into it at the same time, and it's almost like you're one, and maybe this works well, and I'm trying to make too much of it. On the stage, it's almost like you're one unit, the three sisters, and you have a great band with you now, which we'll talk about, but you all play so well together, and your harmonies, not only in your music but in your singing, are just phenomenal. And I've never understood how you get to that point where, as you're learning to play fiddle, let's say, and your first album has no singing on it, how do you play different parts? You don't just play the same notes on the fiddle. You're playing different parts on the music, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
How did you learn that now at a young age? How did you learn to do that?
Well, you know, when we first started, you know, we're each kind of learning to play by ourselves individually. And when we competed, obviously, we weren't playing together, like the three of us playing together. We were each competing on our own. But then we started playing songs together, and I think one of the first tunes we learned to play together as the three of us was Faded Love. And, you know, that's a real simple fiddle tune. Most all fiddle players learn that one at some point. And, one of us takes the lead, and then the other two take harmony parts. And if you do that enough, you start developing an ear for hearing the harmony parts. And I really think that when we started to sing, the fact that we had been playing harmony fiddles together so much, that helped with being able to pick up singing harmony vocal parts together, for sure.
Well, that was going to be my... Yeah. I think that's where I was going to head to that, too, is that I figured that when I knew that your first album had no singing after talking to your sister Grace, and then we've talked about that also, I was thinking that it must be a natural thing once you decide to start singing, and that you can, that you sort of follow the pattern of your fiddle harmonies. I mean, at least you know how to do it. I'm not saying you all sing the same parts that you played on fiddle, but that would allow you to hear what you're going to try to sing, because you've played different harmony parts on fiddle before.
Yeah, and on fiddling, on some of the fiddle tunes that we play together, you know, we switch around on who plays what part, because it really doesn't matter. But on our vocal parts, I sing most of the leads, and Huldah sings the high parts, and Grace sings most of the low parts. And so when we're singing and playing a vocal song, you know, will usually fiddle the same harmony part as we're singing.
Okay.
You know, not necessarily the same notes, but we'll, if Hulda's singing the high harmony part, she'll play the high harmony part.
Okay.
Just because that kind of makes the most sense to stay on the same part.
So when you started, how long did you play fiddle, like in competition or like we did the first album? We've talked about that without singing. When did you decide to start singing? How does that come about? Do you remember much about how that decision came about?
Yes, I do. It really kind of came to where we started playing more and more gigs as just an instrumental band, and it got to a place where we were just sort of faced with the reality of there aren't too many successful all-instrumental bands out there.
All right, that's a good point. Okay.
If you're like a jazz singing, a jazz swing band with horns and that sort of thing, that's different. But, you know, if you're going to play country music or most any style, really, you've got to have some vocals in the band. And so we were encouraged by different folks to try singing. And I remember Ricky Skaggs told us, he's like, you need to open your mouth and sing. And we were like, okay, I guess we really need to try this. And once we worked at it a lot when we first started out, and we weren't that great, you know, first rattle out of the box, but I guess that's the way anything is. And we just kept practicing on it till we felt like we could present it to the public, and we worked really hard and had this goal of this particular gig we wanted to debut our singing at, and we kind of kept it under the hat till we felt like it was good enough. And I remember that gig very well. Mm. It was a lot of fun. It was a big milestone, you know, for us that we prepared and got ready for that. We didn't even know how to sing over mics. You know, we played over mics.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're right.
Your voice.
Yeah.
So we kind of got our feet wet in that area, and now I just love to sing. I really do. And I love singing with my sisters because they're so good at, you know, blending and following the lead and everything and getting harmony parts, you know. I think it helps to be siblings in that regard.
Well, you kind of have that automatic. That I guess the timbre of your voice is going to be close because you are sisters and you're close in age. So even though you're singing different parts of the vocal, your voice. We were talking about the Mills Brothers before we went on the air, just kind of chatting. So I think maybe there's something about the way the vocal box and everything works. They kind of go together. I don't want to say ring and symphony because I'm not talking about strings, but you know what I mean. The sisters sound, your vocal qualities are the same, even if your ranges or the parts you're singing aren't the same. So they blend in so well like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing is our ranges are almost the same. It makes it challenging sometimes because, you know, if somebody's got a we all, I guess, are, I'm not trained in this really, but I guess we're sort of soprano ranges.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us have like really low voices or lower voices. So sometimes, you know, your voice will grow in a range if you work it. You know, it'll get lower or higher. So Hulda can hit really high stuff just because she's worked with singing up there so much.
Okay.
And Grace can get lower stuff that might be harder for me to get. But sometimes that is a bit of a challenge because we do have similar ranges to get three parts. But we, you know, there's usually we just pick a key that allows it to be the most friendly for the lowest note or the highest note or something like that. So.
All right. So well, you do that very well, by the way. So whenever you decided that, hey, we got to do this vocal thing, and if it was Ricky Skaggs that said, open your mouth and sing, you really do so well. And in a day when so many things and so many vocal parts are enhanced in studio, I can say for an absolute fact, because I've seen you twice, very up close, the vocals that come out when the Quavy sisters sing in are real, and they are so just perfectly blended, and it's just amazing to me that you've all gotten together where, well, let's just sing, we might as well sing, and it comes out so daggone good.
Well, you're so kind. You're so kind. I mean, you know, I think that anybody can sing, really. I thought if I can sing, just about anybody can sing.
Yeah.
It just takes practice. It takes dedicated listening, just working on blending, being mindful of that, thinking about just phrases and being tight together. And you do that enough, and it starts to get that way. So I don't think that, you know, I think, being aware of those kind of things, you know,
well,
being tight and all that.
And you mentioned a good word, too, Sophia. You mentioned, and if people are just now tuning in, I'm talking to Sophia Quaby of the Quaby Sisters, who I absolutely adore the music that you guys do. But you mentioned a word in there, phrasing. You not only do you blend the this must take a lot more practice. Well, I would assume at some point you kind of naturally can pick your harmony spots after you've done this long enough. But the phrasing of the words and the song, it's there's no overlapping. It's just like, you know, it's one voice. I keep coming back to trying to explain this. It's like you're listening to one voice because everything is matched so well.
Well, thank you so much.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, like, as far as phrasing, yes, it does start to become natural where we can just really read each other and follow each other. But if we're working out a specific kind of thing that we want to do, you know, we just sort of work it out in rehearsals or when we're making arrangements or something. And then, we'll practice it. But it definitely becomes the more and more you work with a group of people, the more you just kind of gel and you can sort of read each other by just looking at each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And with my sisters and I, we've played together for so long, and being sisters, we can read each other so well, like books, you know.
I've noticed this, and I don't know why I noticed this. Holda always snaps her left hand. Her left hand is always keeping the time. And I'm thinking, is she left-handed or right-handed? But I always notice that she does the both time I've seen it. I'm thinking, you know, she's playing fiddle right, but she's always using her left hand. And I don't know why I noticed that. It's just, there's something about it. I mean, it's an odd thing. I keep thinking, is she right-handed or left-handed? I mean, I know you all play
she's
the fiddle.
She's left-handed. That's a good observation.
Is she really? Oh, that makes sense. All right. Now I understand. See the kind of minutia I can lead you into. I just, these little things that I see, I'm thinking, why does she always use her left, but she's playing right-handed fiddle? All right. Now that makes sense.
Yeah. And Grace is left-handed, too.
Oh, I did not notice that.
I'm the oddball.
Oh, okay. You're the oddball. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll say this, too, and I want you to – I'll speak about this a little bit. Now we've gotten to the influence of the music, and you guys have trained yourself to sing, and you do such a wonderful job at that. And now you're performers. You're very polished performers on stage. I think that must be another step, too, where you reach the point where you kind of share the MC – portion of the show. You kind of toss that back and forth between the three of you up on stage, and so you do that very well.
Thank you.
But both times I've seen the Quaby Sisters, you all are very good at talking about influences on your music. And we talked a little bit about this before we were on the air. You aren't just going back and say, let's find the Bob Wills catalog or Spade Cooley. Did you teach me about Spade Cooley years ago? Okay, so I went and looked at that after you all were talking about Spade Cooley. I didn't know that name. But four years ago when I saw you, I went back home and I looked around, and I get what you're talking about. You're not, the Quaby Sisters are not just going back and reproducing the Bob Wills catalog. Let's talk a little bit about the influences and where you all get music from, and then the fact that you transform it into this sound that has become so recognizable with the Quaby Sisters. But you're not just doing, let's get the Bob Wills catalog and beat that to death. Let's talk about the influences of music that you all draw from for a second.
Well, you already named a few of some of our favorite artists that have been influences from the very start of our music in our lives. Bob Wills, Spade Cooley, are two of the biggest, you know, the most well-known Western swing influences. And then Bob Wills had a brother. Well, he had quite a few brothers, but one of his brothers made some really cool recordings. You probably enjoyed them, Steve. And his name was Billy Jack Wills. And
okay.
That's some of the coolest Western swing
right
here.
Now I'm writing that down because I don't know that name either. All right, go ahead. Keep going.
You'll really dig that stuff. And we have so many, gosh, our list is really long. I'll just throw out a few.
Sure.
We love singers like Ella Fitzgerald and Rosemary Clooney and Ray Price.
No kidding. Ella Fitzgerald, Rosie Clooney, and Ray Price. Well, you guys are really tuned into the vocal style, the vocal skill, because that's three different, totally different sounds, different kinds of music, but boy, they know what they're doing.
They do. They're some of the best singers, just some of the most iconic, greatest singers of all time. And then, we love a lot of country singers, great country singers like Farron Young, and I love Connie Smith. She's one of my favorite country singers.
You are really spread out in the influences. I mean, not only is it more than I thought, but I would not, you know, Rosie Clooney is from, I live in Northern Kentucky, and she's from a tiny town called Augusta, which is about 50 minutes from here.
I've been to her house.
Oh, did you go?
Yeah.
Were you looking for George, or were you looking for Rosie's Antiques?
I was looking for Rosemary, because I'm such a big fan of hers. And then I was like, oh, there's all kinds of George Clooney stuff here, too. Oh, that's cool. But I was really asking. I'm her fan. That's why I'm there.
I'll be darned. I'm thinking through, if I'd had to write down a name of singers, I probably would not have gone. And I tell you this, I have a jazz radio show separate from this thing that I do in Cincinnati, and of course Ella Fitzgerald. So Ella Fitzgerald is the can do no wrong jazz singer. But what is it about Ella Fitzgerald that I've never heard you guys scat on stage? So I mean, so what? Where's that influence from?
Well, that's true. We don't scat. That would be really cool, though.
That's next. That's got to be next.
I haven't tried that yet.
That's got to be next.
Yeah. Well, we have loved her for years. I think, her singing, obviously, as you know, is just captivating. The way she delivers a song, and she's so creative. And she's, you know, scat singing is, to me, kind of a delicate thing. I mean, it's got to be done really well.
Exactly.
Or it can be, you know, kind of painful to listen to.
It can.
And she is just... She's the best.
She always picks the right notes, doesn't she? And she always knows how to get out of those things, and it's always right. It's always right.
I know. She was just incredible. I wish there's a handful of musicians I would have loved to see live if I could time travel back.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of them.
Oh boy, that's that. Well, this is fun. I didn't know that. Okay, so now I get how broad the influences are on the Quaby sisters. I would not have guessed those. But as I look at the new album, which is phenomenal, it's called Every Which Away. You have tradition. You have Wayfaring Stranger. We want to talk a little bit a minute about some of the bluegrass stuff that you did on stage the other day. But you have Hank Williams. You sing Green Light, Hank Thompson tune. The influences on this album alone, Andy Statman. You did an instrumental thing that I believe that Andy Statman. He did the instrumental thing. So there's all this different music just on the new album alone. How High the Moon, which I immediately associate with Les Paul and Mary Ford, but just on this album you have all this. It seems to me you're really starting, and I bet you this is going to happen. You're going to start pulling in more and more musical influences and doing them as the Quaby sisters develop a style, which I think is very recognizable. But I bet you that you pull more and more things in as you go.
You know, I think as musicians, you hope to always be growing and just kind of expanding. So I look forward to hopefully what we can do in the future. I don't really know exactly how our sound's going to grow, but like you said, just more influences coming through in what we do, that would be awesome. I mean, our influences branch out of just out of the more acoustic styles and country and we love the Beatles and music like that.
There's an album, the Quaby Sisters Beatles Tribute. How cool would that be with three fiddles and three part harmonies?
Boy, they have so many good songs that would be fun to cover. But, and, you know, we love it. Probably talk about Django Reinhardt on your guest.
Oh, yes, yes.
Those are a few other influences. And then I can't ever forget the Sons of the Pioneers. They were a huge influence on us early on, and they still are. But we listened so much to them when we first got started, and their singing style really influenced us. We learned a lot of Sons of the Pioneers songs we first got started. There's a few on our second album, and obviously, as you mentioned earlier, the Brooks Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a small handful of some of our favorites.
You guys have so much fun on stage. I think that you love it as much as the audience do. And the last time I saw you, the difference being that Joy McKenzie's not there with the guitar anymore, and now you have two more sisters, the three sisters, the Quaby sisters. When I saw you, you had added two sisters who brought a little bit more of a bluegrass, three or four songs I think you did that were almost straight bluegrass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tell me their names and how you wound up with them.
Well, their names are Penny and Katie Clark, and we actually met them in Nashville. They're from Texas. They're from out in Kilgore, Texas, mm-hmm. but they were living in Nashville for several years and writing songs up there. And we met them at the Grand Ole Opry. My sisters and I were playing there, and we ran into them backstage and, you know, became really good friends, and it just kind of, we kept in touch, and we'd get together with them when we came to Nashville, and then they ended up moving back to Texas about a year and a half ago, and we kept, you know, we hung out more since they were back down in Texas, and then started playing together the beginning of this year, and we have been having a blast.
Mm-hmm.
They're so much fun.
They're so talented.
Really good. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Multi-instrumentalists. They're very good on so many different. The left hand on, you know, the thing that's always tickled me about swing music in general is of course, the fiddle and that part of the Western swing, but the guitar player's left hand is working so hard and trying to be so effortless to keep up, and they both trade off and do that stuff so well.
They do. They really are talented and can, you know, play so many different things, wear so many different hats, so it's impressive.
And with them in the band, then, you've added to... three or four tunes to the live presentation. That's really just bluegrass. I mean, they actually have a five-string banjo now that one of them plays,
mm-hmm.
and they're actually, yeah. You actually do some bluegrass stuff, so that's kind of different for you guys, too.
It is different. You know, it's a lot of fun. It adds a bit of a different twist. They come from a more bluegrass and gospel background, so swing is more of a new thing to them. I mean, they've always listened to it some, but never really played it until recently, so it's fun for them to kind of do different styles, and it's fun for us to incorporate what they bring to the table, their bluegrass and gospel influences.
And if you just started doing this at the beginning of the year, it must still be on stage. You're not afraid. That's not the word I'm going to use for seasoned performers, but you're also like. You're probably still intrigued on how the things are working and how they're blending and where they're going to go. There has to be some kind of a fun edge part of doing bluegrass and performing it live, even with as good as they are to help lead you through it. It must be kind of fun to be on that edge of discovering new sounds and new, you know what I'm saying, just as a performer.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're exactly right. It is fun. And things have honed down the past few months. You know, it takes a while to get that synergy of everything that flows for a good show, and it's just been a lot of fun just developing that, and of course, you know, it can always develop further, but it really has been a fun journey that we'll just keep it going.
Yeah, well, so you're back in Texas. You played the State Fair yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because you're very busy. I mean, you've been, you guys appear almost everywhere now. Everywhere you look around, you can find the Quaby sisters on all sorts of different venues and different musical. I think what's happening is that your sound is getting so recognizable that you are going to get pulled into more and more. I don't know if you do festival events or just concerts, but I think the pool for the Quaby sisters is going to start really expanding. In other words, you're going to be busier than you may have ever wanted to be.
Well, you know, I guess that might be a good problem to have.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, we love playing all kinds of different events, you know, be it a concert series like what we did up in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
Or a festival, and we do a lot of those too, so that's, you know, always a lot of fun.
You, the new album, Every Which Way, of course you do that tune on there. That's the lead tune. And I just tell you this, because I've listened to it in the car. When I get ready for an interview, I really like to get absorbed in the most recent thing and try to get that stuff in my head. And each one of these tunes, every day I'll have a favorite one. And today I was getting on the elevator at work, and then to myself in my head I was humming your version of How High the Moon.
Oh,
you know,
I'm so glad you enjoy it. Thanks.
So, but in some mornings it's every which way. I mean, it just depends on where, you know. I really like the whole thing. It's just great.
Thanks so much, Steve. That's a big compliment.
Well,
appreciate it.
Well, and as people want to track you down, you have a website where they can find you. It's probably pretty easy to find. By the way, Quebe is Quebe.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a website that probably if they punch in the Quebe Sisters, they'll find it, don't you think?
Yeah, it's QuebeSistersBand.com is the website.
Okay, and they can follow you, find out, because I know you're going to be, you're continuing to play and you're going to be around. They can find out where you're going to be. They can find out about this. I assume they can find I got the album from you all live, but I'm assuming they can buy products from you, correct, from there?
They can, yeah. You can buy our merch and CDs off our website. You can also see our schedule and where we're going to be playing if we're near you. And then we also have our Facebook page, Quebe Sisters Band Facebook page, and that's also, you know, some people prefer to keep up with bands that way. So we have all kinds of different ways to keep connected with our fans and the folks out there. So,
well, you're very busy. You're very busy, but I think you're very happy too doing this.
Well, we are really grateful. We've been really blessed, and we have, you know, just gotten to do so many cool things that I'm just thankful for the opportunities that, you know, I wouldn't have if it weren't for music and my sisters and so it is a lot of fun.
And I just tell the audience this too, that when I saw, you know, of course you're all running around. You're very good, by the way, and this I think is the sign of a real performer who loves to perform. I've seen you twice. I keep saying that, but each time you're very good at dealing with fans and people who maybe they can't buy anything or not. But you're very good at giving your time to people after a performance, and I think that's a key. It shows how much you love what you're doing because you love the people that come and listen. So congratulations on that. But when I saw you the last time, I just, for whatever reason, you and Holda were dealing with people out in the front of the lobby, and Grace happened to still be behind the table. So just to give the people some idea, I originally spoke to Grace, and you and your sister Holda were doing other things. I spoke to Grace. I said, well, you know, this might work on my show because it's kind of an expanded, it's bluegrass, but it's, as Howard said, it's more Americana, and it's just kind of, it's branching out. It's all great music. So in order to get Sophia on the phone, I spoke to Grace. I actually communicated email with Holda, and then now I'm talking to Sophia. So it's like you got to get all. It's a package deal. If you're dealing with the Quebe Sisters, it's a package deal, which is a very good thing.
That is absolutely the truth. You never know who's gonna write back to you.
Yeah.
Pick up the phone. So it sure has been a pleasure. I'm glad I got the privilege.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll let you go and get. I know you got to rest up and get ready for your rest of your busy schedule. But this has been a blast. So I've been playing your music since that last show and introducing people, the audience, to what they're going to hear more of. So Sophia, thanks so much. Thanks to the Quebe Sisters for the great music, and I'll let you get back to your Friday night in Texas and enjoy the rest of your weekend and whatever you're up to.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Okay.
I appreciate that. And take care. I hope we run across and pass with you in the near future.
Oh, we'll find you somewhere. Tell your sisters I said hello, and thanks to all of you for the wonderful job that you did.
I'll definitely do that.
All
take
right.
care.
All right.
Good weekend, too.
All right. See you. Bye.